it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett, honored to have you join me this week. This week, we're going to cover my favorite program of the month. It's time for Secrets. We're up to volume number 326. And I came across some very troubling news that originated back in 2018, but it's been revamped. Do you remember the program entitled Quiet Skies? It was implemented under Donald J. Trump in 2018, I believe. And the Secretary for Homeland Security was Kirstjen Nielsen, who happened to work under W when he was president as part of the Director for Prevention, Preparedness, and Response for the Homeland Security Council. So I'm sure that Nielsen was very aware of the Patriot Act and things of that nature. And it appears that Nielsen was in charge during the implementation of Quiet Skies. It was a program laid out in a March 2018 bulletin by the Transportation Security Administration, or TSA. And they had air marshals, federal air marshals, who followed ordinary American citizens that were not suspected of any crime or being on a terrorist watch list or any of that, but they collected extensive information on the movements and behavior as part of this new surveillance program. Now, they described the program as thwarting threats to commercial aircraft posed by unknown or partially known terrorists. American citizens, regular everyday American citizens. It gave the agency broad discretion over which air travelers to focus on and how closely they tracked them. Some air marshals in interviews and internal communications say the program tasked them with shadowing travelers who appeared to pose no real threat. One of them was a businesswoman who happened to have traveled through a Mideast hotspot. Another was a Southwest Airlines flight attendant. Another was a federal law enforcement officer. And they were deemed to be potential threats to our nation. Now, you know, I've railed on the Patriot Act for a long time. It has usurped a bunch of our freedoms, our rights. I mean, what happened with the Fourth and Fifth Amendment with these people that were tracked by TSA, air marshals? But it was all in the name of your safety. That's what they said when they introduced the Patriot Act right after 9/11. Your safety, not your constitutional rights. Those have been destroyed. There are thousands of unsuspecting Americans who were subjected to these surveillance programs. They were carried out by small teams of armed, undercover air marshals. They document whether the passenger fidgeted, whether they used a computer, whether there is a jump, so to speak, in their Adam's apple, or if they had a cold, penetrating stare. These observations were noted minute by minute. Now, all U.S. citizens who entered the country were automatically screened for inclusion in Quiet Skies. Their travel patterns and affiliations were checked, and their names were run against a terrorist watch list and other databases. When they selected somebody to be part of the Quiet Skies program, the surveillance program, air marshals were put on this person's next flight. These air marshals would get a dossier with a photo, basic information such as date and place of birth, and they would track these people on domestic flights to or from dozens of cities, big or small. They took notes on whether this person used a phone, if they went to the bathroom, if they chatted with others on the plane, or if they changed clothes. Was this illegal? Not if Big Brother government says it's not, right? There are a number of air marshals who have voiced very deep concerns about this program. Documents obtained for this report that was in the Boston Globe in July 28, 2018, written by Jana Winter, documents show 40 to 50 Quiet Skies passengers on domestic flights were surveilled each day. On average, air marshals followed and surveilled 35 people a day. Did the program waste taxpayer dollars? Yes. Did it take away from security of flights that could have had a potential terrorist on it? Maybe. Nothing's documented to say whether or not this program was successful or not. The government will never admit its error, will it? But they have usurped the Constitution at the TSA and Homeland Security because of the Patriot Act. They don't care. You are a serf to the federal government. And these travelers were never notified if they were placed on a watch list or not. How many of us traveling on business or pleasure were surveilled by federal air marshals? And the reason that this Quiet Skies program is so important to know about is because after January 6th, where there was a so-called insurrection, Trump supporters stormed the Capitol and they threatened our Congress people and they were terrified. Oh, well, because of that so-called insurrection, Homeland Security under the Biden administration began diverting federal air marshals to track individuals who traveled to D.C. for that rally. If you were on a plane that flew to D.C., you're on that list. Whether you attended the rally or not, you more than likely have been surveilled by Homeland Security air marshals from the TSA. The Air Marshal National Council alleges that these individuals were tracked even if they did not participate in the protest and were never charged with a crime. Is this continued politicization of law enforcement agencies? It sure sounds like it. What about the risk to innocent passengers? Was that factored in? Probably not. This revelation comes at the same time that it was revealed the FBI allowed an apparent child rapist to go free because they were too busy focusing on the January 6 cases. We already know that there were FBI informants and undercover Washington, D.C. Metropolitan Police and other agents in the crowd on January 6th. How many of those people were instigators? Ray Epps comes to mind, does he not? But Quiet Skies was re-implemented because of the so-called insurrection in D.C. What if you have family that lives outside of D.C. and you flew into D.C. that weekend to go visit your kids, grandkids? Doesn't matter. If you were there on business, you were probably put on a watch list and surveilled. How secure are we under Biden's Department of Homeland Security. Mayorkas and Biden have opened our border. How many terrorists have come across the border unchecked? How many of them are gotaways? How many cells does Al-Qaeda or the Taliban have in this country? How many cartel members from Mexico are in this country? How many animals from MS-13, yes, I said that. I agree with Trump on that phrase. From MS-13 are fomenting criminal activity in cities near you. Because Mayorkas and Biden have decided that we don't need a border. Maybe this is part of the North American Union that was brought up under W. But the fact that our federal air marshals were tasked with surveilling normal everyday American citizens going about their business, 30, 35, 40 people a day. Unbelievable. Well, the scamdemic appears to be over. Of course, we're going to have pop-up players and all of these. But government overreach has become a permanent fixture in this country. There was a recent ruling by the New York State Appeals Court that upheld the right of state officials, get this, to arbitrarily seize and detain any person they deem necessary in the name of public safety. Did you get that? The right of New York State officials to arbitrarily seize and detain any person they deem necessary. The Fourth Judicial Department overruled a lower court ruling that invalidated a State Department health rule 2.13 that spelled out the powers of officials to control the spread of communicable disease. Last year, a New York Supreme Court judge threw out Rule 2.13 on the grounds it violated due process. Now, that sounds all hoity-toity, the New York Supreme Court. But for those of you in New York, you already know that the New York Supreme Court is third on the pecking order of courts. There are two other levels above it, the Appellate Division and the Court of Appeals. So it's not really a Supreme Court. In his July 2022 ruling, Justice Ronald Plets said the law could conceivably grant the commissioner the power to force anyone into isolation or quarantine despite a lack of evidence that a person is infected with COVID-19. Involuntary detention is a severe deprivation of individual liberty, far more egregious than other health safety measures, such as requiring mask wearing at certain venues. Involuntary quarantine may have far-reaching consequences, such as a loss of income and isolation from family. This is what the judge wrote. Now, the regulation was adopted in February of 22 under Governor Kathy Hochul. State Senator George Borrello issued a statement vowing to appeal to the state's highest court. He does not like this grabbing of New York citizens and putting them in isolation. Borrello's office said, quote, "They have not only paved the way for Hochul and her Department of Health to reissue this heinous rule, they have set a precedent to preclude citizens from rightly challenging government overreach in court, and they've effectively unconstitutionally empowered the executive branch to overreach into policymaking, which is a decision that could open the door to further abuses of power. Rule 2.13 has the effect of allowing an American state to seize citizens for indefinite quarantine and isolation without due process." This is a gulag mentality. And New Yorkers, I keep telling you, you keep voting for these loony leftists. And I know people in upstate are probably more conservative than the libtards down in Manhattan. But until you get your political house straight, you're going to be dealing with garbage like this. And it's going to apply to California, Washington, Oregon. It's coming to Arizona. All of these blue states, Michigan. And yes, Mark, I know your governor is as bad or worse than Hochul. Mark lives up in Michigan. He's a dear friend of the ministry. Illinois. All of these blue states are going to adopt this. You watch. Even though the Rona has pretty much been proven to be a bioweapon that was developed here in the States and then sent over to China and unleashed. Right now, all of the Rona cases that you hear about that people are being hospitalized, those are people who had the jab. They were coerced into taking this poison that was dubbed a vaccine, and now they're suffering severe health consequences. Cancer rates are going through the roof because of this jab. And it's only going to get worse for the people that took it. Now, we did lose a very dear friend to the flu or coronavirus, COVID-19. Bill was a tremendous, tremendous gentleman. I loved talking to him on the phone. He lived in Mississippi. He was an attorney. And he agreed with me that it was the flu on steroids. Well, it claimed Bill's life. And rest in peace, Bill. I know that he is in heaven with Tex and Michelle, and they're having a glorious time. But I miss talking to my friend from Mississippi. But the scamdemic is being proven for what it was. It was the flu on steroids. It was a man-made bioweapon. But it has allowed overreach from government to invade your life. And it's only going to get worse. Speaking of overreach, this was in HeadlineUSA.com, written by Ken Silva. Justice Department attorneys have released records relating to their search warrant for Donald Trump's Twitter account. Did you get that? Donald Trump's Twitter account. Prosecutors obtained a vast trove of data about the former president's social media activity, including information on every account to like, follow, or retweet Donald J. Trump. Did you get on Twitter? Did you follow Trump? Did you like anything that he tweeted out? The government has your information. Jack Smith, the special counsel, sought and ultimately received all users Trump followed, unfollowed, muted, unmuted, blocked, or unblocked, as well as all users who followed, unfollowed, muted, unmuted, blocked, or unblocked Trump. Additionally, Smith demanded Twitter data on all lists of Twitter users who have favorited or retweeted tweets posted by Trump, as well as all tweets that include the username associated with the account. If you interacted with Donald Trump on Twitter, the federal government knows who you are. And in this day of wokeness, they know your pronouns. Oh, my. Well, I hope and pray that you had a wonderful Thanksgiving with your friends, family, loved ones, neighbors, had a great get-together, and enjoyed yourself. But Kamala Harris, oh, boy, she's a piece of work. She ignited a firestorm on Twitter, or X, whatever you want to call it. She posted a photo with her and her husband, Doug Emhoff, in their kitchen. And it showed the appliance that she uses right behind her. If you recall, President Joe Biden's Department of Energy is introducing new regulations to govern appliances, including gas stoves, refrigerators, air conditioners, and clothes washers. The Department of Energy claims that these regulations will result in a reduction of over 2.4 billion metric tons of greenhouse gas emissions in the next three decades. What do you think was in the background of Kamala Harris's picture? You're right. A gas stove. Well, it didn't take long for people on Twitter to be made aware of this faux pas and start making comments on it. But nonetheless, the Biden administration continues to move forward with banning gas stoves. I thought natural gas was a clean energy source. Now, where does it come from? Oil. When they drill for oil, they hit pockets of natural gas. But the emissions on it are negligible. They're almost nil. But that's not going to stop President Biden from stepping into your kitchen and making you make everything electric so that when the grid goes down, you have nothing to cook with, to cool with, to wash your clothes with. Nothing. Well, I want to turn to the home front here in Austin. Recently, there was a police officer who died in the line of duty. There was a standoff with a nut job, and he rushed into the house. You know, first responders run into chaos while everybody else runs away from it. Well, there is a George Soros-supported district attorney here in Travis County who has made it his goal to prosecute police officers here in Austin. This moron showed up at the funeral for this police officer despite his commitment to charge police officers every chance he gets. His name is Jose Garza, and shortly after he appeared at the funeral, he was asked to leave. Can you imagine the unmitigated gall of somebody who has made it his mission to prosecute police officers to show up to a funeral of one? Garza was elected to this liberal county. Yes, liberal county. Austin, Texas. It's a hotbed of liberalism, progressivism, idiocy. But he promised that he was going to show the police officers who was boss. He indicted 19 Austin police officers in connection with the police response to a 2020 Black Lives Matter protest. Since Garza has taken office, the number of cases referred to his office that he did not choose to prosecute has spiked. Crime in Austin is stupid. Last year we had 77 homicides. So far, December 1 of 2023, we're setting at 66. Chances are Austin is going to beat last year's homicide total. Why? Because of George Soros-backed district attorneys like Jose Garza. They are picking and choosing who to prosecute, what not to prosecute, and basically usurping law in favor of their wokeness. Now, according to this report, Garza was confused as to why he was asked to leave. He didn't see anything wrong with it. Republican Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas said, quote, "Everywhere Soros-backed prosecutors go, crime follows. These legal arsonists have abandoned their duty to public safety by pursuing leniency even for the most heinous crime, and they often flat-out refuse to charge criminals for shoplifting, vagrancy, and entire categories of misdemeanors." Jose Garza is part and parcel with the problem with district attorneys across the country. They took George Soros money, and they have rewritten law. George Gascon, out in L.A., he's another one. Well, there was a huge news story I found on Citizen Free Press week or two ago. Gentleman by the name of Vince Ritchie, R-I-C-C-I. He was captured by his doorbell camera as he was coming to his house. And two thugs decided that he was going to be a victim. His wife and his infant child were in the house. This gentleman just so happened to have a concealed carry permit. So these two thugs roll up on him, and they're going to rob him, and he defended his home, his person, and his family, and he has now been stripped of his right to concealed carry. He defended his home, his five-month-old child, and California decided to suspend his Second Amendment right. Mr. Ricci said, quote, "When the incident happened, there were only two things I could rely on, myself and the Second Amendment. And now that's in jeopardy. The leftist gun grabbers do not care about your safety." Now, the sheriff's office told Ricci that revocation came after he yelled at LAPD officers who showed up to investigate. Ricci did not deny that when LAPD showed up 3 days after the incident, he accused them of sloppy police work, saying that they did not pick up casings near his home as evidence. I'd be a little miffed, too. How are you going to prosecute without the evidence? There was a break-in at a neighbor's house the night prior. NRA spokesman Billy McLaughlin said in a statement, quote, "It's reprehensible that California is shredding his Second Amendment rights after he defended his family. Governor Newsom and Gasson's pro-criminal policies have transformed L.A. and the wider state into what resembles a war zone." Ricci concurs. He said, quote, "I used to walk into this house and see this beautiful house that I built for my family, and now I walk into a war zone. Right here in L.A., an innocent L.A. father was killed because District Attorney Gasson released a violent criminal back into the streets. And this is just one of the dozens of cases right here in this city. Just one." And NBC News recently did a poll, and they were shocked at the results. Over half of American households, 52%, now possess at least one firearm. This is the highest rate of gun ownership since they began tracking this data in 1999. In 2019, an NBC Wall Street Journal poll reported 46% of Americans either owned a gun or lived in a house with a gun owner. There is a partisan divide with gun ownership. 66% of Republicans, 45% of independents, and 41% of Democrats reported owning a gun. But since 2004, these figures have all increased. In 2004, 57% of Republicans owned a gun, 41% of the independents, and 33% of Democrats. The survey showed a near doubling of gun ownership among black voters from 24% in August 2019 to 41% today. Do you know why? Because of DAs like Gasson, Garza, Bragg. All of these Soros-bought and paid lackeys that aren't prosecuting criminals and putting them in prison where they belong. So citizens, honest, hard-working American citizens, are arming themselves to defend themselves. Places like Portland, where they defunded the police, Seattle, Austin, gun ownership has spiked because of these actions, cause and effect. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. People don't feel safe because they have gutted police departments and they're not prosecuting these criminals to the fullest extent of the law. I'm not saying they're vigilantes, but they are defending themselves, their family, and their property. And that's their constitutional, God-given right. Well, that's going to take care of the first half. I want to thank you for giving me some of your time today. We're going to take a brief pause, and when I come back, we're going to dive right back in. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about an outstanding new book that my friend Vince Everett Ellison has put out. It's entitled Crime, Inc., how Democrats employ mafia and gangster tactics to gain control and hold power. Vince Everett Ellison has written this massive takedown of the political left. In Crime, Inc., Vince explains how murder, sex trafficking, defunding the police, and disarming law-abiding citizens are used as tools in a diabolical plan for power. Previously, the political left partnered with slave traders, the Confederacy, and the KKK. They now partner with abortion murderers, perverts, Mexican cartels, Black Lives Matter, and Antifa in their quest to maintain power. Crime, Inc. is an indictment. It charges the political left in its entirety with the crime of national sabotage and cultural genocide with American Marxism as their ultimate goal. The left has sabotaged the black community, the government, religion, the arts, education, the family, and every institution they have touched in America. If you like the inner cities of Detroit, Memphis, Philadelphia, and Baltimore today, you will love America in 10 years if the loony left continues to get their way. Exposing their plans is the best way to stop this criminal activity. Anticipating their plans will make you immune to them. Crime, Inc., 352 pages. It's a hardback book, and we're only asking $28. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $34. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We are in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use these charge cards also if you care to fax in your order. Just put down your name, address, charge card information, write on a little note, write Crime, Inc. We'll charge your card. We'll get it processed. We'll get it coming to you. Our fax number is 512-263-9793. You can use those cards on our secure shopping cart at powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. Just click on the link there on the front page. You can fill in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit, we'll get it processed and sent to you. We have a bunch of these on hand to send out promptly. Now, if you care to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Crime, Inc., $34 postpaid. Get your copy now. Okay, and now let's return to our regular program. Today we're covering secrets. We're up to volume number 326. Now, I've talked to you before about vaccine passports and that they were coming. I've also talked to you about the digital currency that is coming. But are you ready for this? How about carbon passports? That's right. There is a report on the future of travel and tourism that was co-authored by a travel agency called Intrepid Travel and the Future Labs Institute that write future deeply impacted by climate change and restrictions on tourist travel will combat it. So they're going to limit your mobility. That's what they are planning on. The report is entitled A Sustainable Future for Travel, and it warns of travel extinction, where some areas suffer from such radical climate change, all tourism will cease, and personal carbon allowances will restrict how often one is permitted to travel. Do you get that? They are envisioning you being restricted on how often and how far you can travel. And they're going to utilize carbon passports. Now, your carbon emissions, your personal carbon emissions, will be limited as a new policy will be developed. And these nut jobs values will drive an era of great change. According to this report, on our current trajectory, we can expect a pushback against the frequency with which individuals can travel, with carbon passports set to change the tourism landscape. You get that? They believe that personal carbon allowances will help curb carbon emissions and lower travel's overall footprint. They're going to force people to ration their carbon in line with global carbon budgets. By 2040, we can expect to see limitations imposed on the amount of travel permitted each year. But it's not just your travel. Your carbon emissions will line up with your energy usage. Your standard of living is your energy usage. And reducing society's energy usage is the same as reducing its living standards. Everything is going to be tied together. The amount of meat that you purchase will be tracked. Why do you think they're coming out with this digital currency? They want to see what you're buying. And your home heating, your air conditioning, your vehicular travel to and from work, all of these are going to be part of your carbon footprint. And once you exceed the maximum allowable carbon footprint for your personal use, you will no longer be able to travel. You ask, how serious are these people about reducing the living standards of our citizens? Canada's Environment Minister, Stephen Guilbeau, confirmed that their government will limit natural gas usage in order to fight climate change. Here he is.
There will be limitations on how much natural gas you can use.
Yes, absolutely. That's what fighting climate change looks like. Limiting the amount of fossil fuels we're using. We're doing that in the transportation sector. We're doing that in the cement sector. We're doing that in the steel and aluminum sector. We're also doing it in the electricity sector, and we're doing it in the oil and gas sector.
They're going to limit your carbon usage, and they're going to track you. And if your social credit score goes down, so will your carbon footprint passport. Yes, complete and utter control. Unbelievable. But this is what these elitists have planned for us. We're just the serfs, so we're supposed to just take it. All in the name of greater good. Got to save Mother Earth. And even though they've proven that the Earth is greener than it's ever been, NASA has pictures of this. But it doesn't stop these nut jobs from pursuing total control over your life. That's part of the plan. Why do you think the World Economic Forum pushed for a greater reset? The Great Reset. 15-minute cities are coming to you. You won't be able to travel. You won't be able to buy meat. This is all part and parcel of the same plan that the elites have for you. Well, I came across this. This is a little lighter side of the news. There's a restaurant owner in Florida who has taken proactive measures against dine and dash culprits. Now, I have never done this. I don't know if you have or not, but I'm sure you know somebody who has walked on a ticket. That's what they call it in the food service industry. Where you go in and you order dinner, and you know you don't have any money to pay for it. You sit down and you enjoy a nice meal, and then you just get up and walk out of the eatery without paying, without tipping the wait person. You just let the owner of the restaurant foot the bill. It's a lot like these smash and grabbers, but these are dine and dashers. Well, his name is Ken Brackens. He owns Rick's on the River, and he exposes these dine and dashers on social media and approaches them directly. Ask why he does this and not involve the police in this matter. He said, quote, "We use this as a deterrent. We're not really trying to get money as much as use it as a deterrent so they won't do it again. Or we don't want those customers back. We always make them come back in and pay. They want to pay over the phone, but we make them do the walk of shame and come in and pay." Oh, my. Bracken said most of his customers paid after being confronted, but there was one driving a Mercedes-Benz who has still refused to pay up even after the altercation. But Bracken doesn't approach the police for assistance because he believes they have more pressing matters and are too busy to deal with dine and dash situations. They will call the police if these people get combative. And Bracken said he's had other venues call and say, "Hey, can you give me that person's name and number because they've been doing the same thing?" So they'll wait a few months and come back and do it again if you don't do something. He's correct. Bracken said 98% of the people are on our side. We've got some from all over the world where we get positive comments that they're cheering us on. I think they're sick and tired of seeing the smash and grabs and nothing happening out on the left coast. You get a few people that try to just say that we're in the wrong. But hey, we're not the ones that are trying to steal something. So if you don't want to be splashed all over social media, don't do it. Wise words. Why can't we get politicians that are that smart? Oh, because once they get inside the beltway, they become idiots. Tools for the process. Now, I talked to you earlier about the carbon footprint. Well, there are things that the Biden administration has implemented through the EPA and Department of Energy that, well, sadly, you could be in for a lot of pain and suffering this winter. An energy watchdog group has warned that Biden's energy policy has put more than half the country at an elevated risk of blackouts this winter. And my local news guy, he's a climate change nut job, but he has repeatedly said that with El Nino gaining strength out in the Pacific, that here in Texas, we're going to experience a colder and wetter winter than we have recently. This does not bode well for the energy sector, thanks to Biden's restrictions. Now, according to this article written by Warner Todd Houston, residents from Texas to New England could be subject to blackouts during the expected extreme cold this winter due to inadequate generator weatherization and limitations to natural gas infrastructure. The confluence of both of those factors has year after year resulted in wide swaths of generators being unavailable for some of our most critical winter periods and hours where the system needs it the most. Well, I can tell you when we had our cold spell that ended up costing me $300 because we lost power thanks to ERCOT. Rolling blackouts, my eye. We were down 6 hours without any electricity. My wife and I live on rainwater collection. Well, it froze up our water pump, the UV light that kills the bacteria. Cost me $300 to fix everything because of ERCOT, because of being ill prepared for that tremendous cold spell we experienced. And according to this, it's only going to be worse this winter. I saw a news report yesterday about Buffalo and the lake effect snow. They had a big old front end loader moving tons of snow because of the cold spell that just hit Buffalo, New York. And I'm talking, it was probably 20 feet high, the stack of snow that this bulldozer was pushing. It's only going to get worse. The EPA has decreased generation due to the premature closure of coal and gas-fired power plants. It has permitted delays that prevent new infrastructure from being built and connected to the grid. The EPA has aimed to reduce power plant emissions by 90% by 2035. The EPA claims its proposed regulations will help tackle the climate crisis and protect public health. More people die from the cold than the heat. Understand that. Now, I love colder weather because I can layer up. I can put on a bunch of clothes. But when you get cold to the bone, things start shutting down. So how is this process that the EPA has implemented going to protect public health? It's not. These policymakers are ignoring potential problems in the name of climate change protection. Ugh. The NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, is calling on intelligent speed assistance technology be mandated for all cars. They want to use the car's GPS location compared with a database of posted speed limits and onboard cameras to help ensure safe and legal speeds. Do you get that? The NTSB wants car makers to control speed. They're going to put a computer-controlled governor on your vehicle. They want you to go the posted speed limit. They don't want you to be able to accelerate and get out of a hairy situation. But they think that because some idiot decided to do 85 in his truck and plow into the side of the building or plow into another car, that by government control, you'll be a more docile and less aggressive citizen. I mean, they've already got kill switches as part of a plan under Biden's infrastructure bill that he had passed and signed. So if you're driving impaired, the computer's going to know it and turn your car off so you can't get a DUI and kill somebody. This is for all cars produced in 2026 and beyond. But you're going to be facing carbon passports, fake meat, less energy, all about control. And the COP28 climate conference is coming soon, the United Nations, and they are looking to limit the amount of meat consumption for everyday people. It's part of the UN's anti-meat agenda for COP28. It's a roadmap for limiting the rise in global temperatures. The UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, or FAO, insists the meat industry is responsible for destroying the planet via methane and nitrogen emissions. But this is not settled science as far as livestock emissions go. There is a group of University of California Riverside researchers who discovered that methane traps heat in the Earth's atmosphere and creates cooling clouds that offset 30% of the Earth's surface warming. So, in other words, livestock farming is likely cooling the planet. Ooh, we can't have that. So it's not settled science. You'll hear all the nut jobs claim that methane emissions from cows is causing global warming. And they don't trust true science. They want the doctored science. And the FAO, the UN Food and Agriculture Organization, plans to create transformative change in the food industry. The Eat Lancet Commission is an environmentalist organization, and it recommends that people consume no more than 15.7 kilograms of meat annually. The average American consumes 127 kilograms of meat a year. In other words, we eat 112 kilograms more meat than we're supposed to, according to this climate activist group. The C40 Cities Climate Leadership Group, a globalist Michael Bloomberg-run climate organization made up of nearly 100 cities around the planet, including 14 American cities, aims to completely eradicate meat and dairy consumption by 2030. Last year, the government of the Netherlands announced plans to forcibly buy out as many as 3,000 farms to meet 2030 climate goals. The affected Dutch farmers were banned from starting farms anywhere else in the EU. There is another way, though. Bankrupt the farmers. The Netherlands subjected farmers to untenable climate regulations on fertilizer and livestock, giving many no choice but to shut down. In 2021, Sri Lanka banned chemical fertilizer, resulting in massive crop failures and sky-high fuel prices. Sri Lanka has descended into bloody political unrest and economic ruin. But consider the nutritional deficiencies by a meatless world. Meat is a staple of the human diet and has been for thousands of years. It contains essential bioavailable amino acids that are not found in plant proteins. These climate nuts want to replace meat with lab-grown meat and bugs. The only way to force people to eat bugs and lab-grown meat is to create a food shortage. Millions could die from starvation and nutritional deficiency. But environmentalists, enviro-wackos, believe each individual person's carbon footprint is detrimental to the environment. They're even telling people to reduce the number of children you have because they are a bane on the climate. As a result, a recent study found 39% of young people are hesitant to have children because they have been mind warped into believing this climate garbage. But a recent study found the world's richest 1% account for more carbon emissions than the poorest 66%. King Charles, Fortune 500 CEOs, politicians from around the world will travel to the COP28 climate summit in their private jets like they do every year. Oh, and they'll be eating meat as well. They want to dictate limits on mass travel, what you eat, how many children you reproduce, while they refuse to rein in their lavish, polluting lifestyles. Good for me, not for thee. But Italy has rejected lab-grown meat in defense of health. That's right. Italy is known for its cuisine, and they have rejected so-called cultivated or lab-grown foods, including meat. According to Italian Agriculture Minister Francesco Lollobrigida, said, quote, Italy is the world's first country safe from the social and economic risks of synthetic food, close quote. The Chamber of Deputies in Italy approved the bill 159-53 and confirmed an earlier bill that was produced in the Italian Senate. This new law bans the use, sale, import, or export of lab-grown food. Italy's agricultural sector processes over $10 billion worth of meat annually, and some of the law's supporters said they were interested in protecting those workers. The bill also bans the use of meat-related language to sell plant-based alternatives like tofu steak. Italy gets it. They're not going to fall for this climate garbage, and they're going to protect their citizens and their farmers and ranchers. Good for them. Well, there was a report that I saw on the news recently about a memo issued at a U.S. Air Force base in North Dakota warning airmen against attending a conservative rally that was held in the area. They claim that supporters of former President Donald Trump are confrontational towards the military. This message was shared on the Air Force NCO-SNCO Facebook page, and it labeled the conservative activist group Turning Point Action as an alt-right group. The message also warned airmen that attending the event could jeopardize their military career. In another part of this message, the officials tried to link a November 17th shooting that occurred in Minot to the attendees of the Trump rally. However, this shooting occurred on the opposite side of town from where the rally was held. Not to mention the fact that the Minot Police Department said the shooting was not related to the Dakota Patriot rally. Now, Tyler Boyer, part of Turning Point Action, was shocked by the attack on him and his group, and he noted on social media, quote, "Leftist organizations encourage looting, rioting, and burning down cities. We're just registering people to vote and to become precinct captains." A statement from Air Force Captain Christopher Thibodeau Moore, the Chief of Public Affairs at Minot Air Force Base, who has listed his pronouns as he, him, his, essentially admitted that the message was real, but that it was not authorized or delivered via official base communication platforms. It's real, all right, but no, it wasn't through official terms, so no, we're good. We're all good. No, we're not. Oh. How bad is it? A Massachusetts high school canceled USA Day because officials of the district said that it was too political and not inclusive enough. That's how bad it is. Jamie Chisholm is a principal of Wellesley High School in Wellesley, Massachusetts, and he decided to dump USA Day from their Spirit Week schedule. He tried to explain the reasoning for dropping the patriotic celebration and replacing it with Fitness Friday. He said, quote, "We felt that the topic has been politicized beyond our school, and we wanted to avoid politics. We've had Mismatch Monday, Tropical Tuesday, Western Wednesday, Team Jersey Thursday, and today was Fitness Friday. Monday is Monochrome Monday, and Tuesday is Pajama Day." Close quote. So apparently you're not allowed to have spirit for the USA. USA Day was proposed by the students, and the students were shocked by the administration's move to cancel the Patriotic Day. That didn't stop the kids. Many of them showed up in red, white, and blue garb. Some parents were outraged at the decision to cancel USA Day. Now, Wellesley is a suburb of Boston and is only minutes away from the site of the Boston Tea Party. Many woke schools have no problem celebrating Black Lives Matter movement or LGBTQ pride. But think about this. How do these events not separate us? I don't get it. I don't get it. Well, that's going to take care of this week's program. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it as always. And I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.